From all walks of life, white women are hearing the call, considering our future, and braving a new world. Join me, Rachel Pendergraft, each week as I bring you the White Women's Perspective.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the White Women's Perspective. I'm your host, Rachel Pendergraft. This week has been the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. For those ladies out there who may not follow politics, this is, in fact, the week of the RNC convention, the week that the Republican Party will officially declare Donald Trump to be their candidate for the 2016 presidential election. He will be going up against Democrat Hillary Clinton. And there have been a lot of protesters. They started gathering actually last week in view of being there on the spot and ready to protest delegates coming from all over the nation to the convention. And there have been a lot of different types of protests there. There have been Black Lives Matter groups. There have been those who protest to Trump's idea to put a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. There are those there who support LGBT issues. That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered issues. I may have mixed up the B and the G there, but anyway, LGBT. I don't know when they're going to start adding more letters to that. But a lot of different groups coming out, Marxist groups, socialist-styled groups. But one group that came out in protest, there were 100 different, Huffington Post is calling them sheroes, S-H-E-R-O-E-F. That's heroes. They stuck an S on the front calling them sheroes. 1,800 women applied to be a part of this protest, and 100 women were chosen to be a part of this protest that was the brainchild of photographer Spencer Tunick. So what was it that, how did they participate in this protest? Well, the protest says part of what they did is they said that they were there to, let me scroll down here. I'm looking here at Huffington Post. They're there as part of an effort to reject the sexualization, objectification, and prohibition of the woman's nude figure. I did not know that there was a problem in the United States, or anywhere for that matter. I did not know there was a problem in the United States with the women's nude figures. In fact, if anything, I think there's probably too many examples of women's nude figures, whether it's in your movies or television like HBO, Showtime, shows made for cable television and so forth. Too much nudity of women's figures. Why? Because there is the attempt to sexualize and objectify women's bodies, all part of the attempt to undermine Western Christian civilization, undermine traditional femininity, undermine the families, and ultimately, it's an attempt to undermine women. So in order to reject the sexualization and objectification of women, 100 women chosen out of 1,800 then stripped down butt naked and stood in unison in front of, outside of Quicken Loans Center there in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Republican National Convention was to be held. Tunick, the photographer, he said here, quote, in Huffington Post, he says, "I fought to hold in," well, this was Deanna. She published a Facebook page. So she's telling of her feelings while she took part of this protest. She says, "I fought to hold in my tears as Tunick explained that we were gathered together to make a statement against the rhetoric of hatred that's being spewed out from the Republican Party, against the misogynistic, xenophobic, racist, anti-LGBTQ. I see, I told you they'd end up getting another letter there. Ableist platform that have defined hating others as an acceptable American lifestyle. So I'm here, I'm looking at Huffington Post. They've got a bunch of different pictures there of the women. Emma says, quote, Tunick called out for volunteers to participate in his vision to interrupt business as usual at the RNC with a flood of nude bodies. The only requirement, be a woman. So this photographer, oh, what a genius. He got 100 women to take their clothes off in front of him out in public. He says that he hoped that it would serve as an act of peaceful protest combating the hateful rhetoric Donald Trump and his followers have directed at women. Well, I've been to a couple of Trump rallies. There was many, many women there. I would say probably actually maybe outnumbered the men at one rally I was at. Very family oriented. If you look at the Republican Party convention as it's being broadcast live on C-SPAN, there are many, many women delegates there. The cheers for every comment in any speech that is directed towards support of Donald Trump as they span the crowd. You can see the support that Donald Trump has from women. Women who love America. Women who want to see an end to this just blasé type acceptance of Muslim immigration into America. Women who want to see a defense of America, the building of a wall on our southern border to rein in this unchecked immigration of our country. Women who are opposed to the exploitation of other women and unborn female children via abortion. Women who want to see the values that America grew to strength upon reinstituted in the fabric of America. And so Trump has a lot of support from women. I thought it was interesting here because 1,800 women signed up to participate. They submitted a statement that told why they wanted to get involved in this project, and several of the women telling of their experiences talked about how they were so pleased with the turnout of the events. During the shoot, quoting again from Huffington Post, the diverse undressed subjects all held a large round mirror above their heads. Now, I don't know if Tunick got this idea from Madonna's pictorial book that she made years ago. For you younger gals out there who are unfamiliar with what I'm referring to, Madonna did a pictorial book about herself and her body. I'm going to say probably 18, 19, possibly even 20 years ago. She's been around for a while. And in one of the photos, she used a mirror to inspect her own lady parts. And then thought it would be cool to take pictures of that. Somehow she imagined it to be some sort of blaze for women's empowerment. Some of these, I just can't make this stuff up. Anyway, so they undressed, held a large round mirror above their heads, reflecting the earth and sun and sky, as well as the fleshly forms of the manifold women around them. The mirror spoke to the communal power of womanhood. Oh my God, I just want to laugh. A force almost supernatural in its strength. As Tunick explained in a statement, the mirrors communicate that we are a reflection of ourselves, each other, and the world that surrounds us. The woman becomes the future, and the future becomes the woman. Oh my God, just totally. Anyway, so I'm looking here at pictures. Different ones express their excitement that there are all kinds of shapes and sizes. You're young and old. We were mahogany and golden, pale and bronze and freckled. Some were sleek and lean and unblemished by pregnancy and childbirth and years of breastfeeding. Others held decades worth of stories in their wrinkles and creases and folds. Oh, it sounds like a celebratory night out for a Wiccan coven somewhere. All they needed was the moonlight, a full moon, to reflect down upon these mirrors that they held above their head. So I'm looking here at these pictures, and I don't know if they had to send pictures in along with their application to be a part of this protest. That would be an interesting thing to find out, because out of these 800 women that applied to be in this protest slash art project, 100 were chosen. But I don't really see any fat women in. I see a few that, you know, you can tell that they've had children and the sagging breast. They have been breastfeeding mothers, and there's some wrinkles there and some dimples and so forth. But I don't see any what you would call actually really fat women. There's a little chub here and there, but no fat women. And so apparently this protest still excluded some women based upon their size and their obesity. Now I do see a picture of a pregnant woman, but the rest of her is still thin. So here they are, they all lined up to protest the exploitation and sexualization of women and the misogynistic attitude, so-called, of Donald Trump. And what did they do to strike a blow for womankind? They took off their clothes and showed their T and A. And like I said, just can't make this stuff up. We'll be right back with more news on the white women's perspective.
Attention, my white sisters. Are you sick and tired of the leftist groups who say they support women, but whose policies harm and exploit women? Are you fed up with being grouped together with non-whites and homosexuals in the national narrative that leads many news stories such as minorities, women, and gays? Believe this or that. It is time for you to demand your own voice as a proud white Christian woman. The Knights Party understands the vital role that women have played in defining the community and culture of Western civilization. Listen each week to Knights Party national organizer Rachel Pendergraft as she speaks directly to you with words of encouragement as well as outrage at those forces who seek to undermine our nation through the exploitation of white women. She invites you to join a growing number of proud and concerned white Christian women who understand that they have a decisive and critical part to play in leading our nation and people toward repentance and revival. Learn more at the Woman to Woman section at KKK.com. And now, back to the show.
I was a normal 20-year-old college student. When I moved into off-campus housing, they boasted that it was safe. Not a single incident since it had opened. I was the first. I woke up in the middle of the night, suffocating. "Shut up," he said. "Don't say a word." For the next 2 hours, I knew I was going to die, and there was nothing I could do. Now I'm a mother of two, and if that predator or anyone else tries to harm me or my family, they have to come through my firearm first. I will never be unarmed or utterly vulnerable ever again. The only reason I can say that is because the NRA fought for my rights before I ever knew that I needed them. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
So that is a new ad out by the National Rifle Association, and it's a real powerful. We've got another one here I'm going to play for you. Freedom's Safest Place, Real Empowerment.
Here's a message to every rapist, domestic abuser, violent criminal thug, and every other monster who preys upon women. Maybe you've heard the stories about millions of us flocking to gun stores and gun ranges for the first time, the second time, and the hundredth time. Here's what that means for despicable cowards like you. Your life expectancy just got shorter. Because there's a very good chance your next target will be armed, trained, and ready to exercise her right to choose her life over yours. This is what real empowerment looks like. Millions of American moms, grandmothers, and professional women taking our lives and our families' lives into our own capable hands. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
So that last ad there, that was a conservative talk show host, Dana Leach, and she is telling criminals that women and children, their families, they're not going to be the targets of rapists and abusers. And now this has some women upset, liberal women, feminists, those in the gun grabbing part of society, has them very upset, because those who are for the most part depicted as gun enthusiasts, those out at the shooting ranges, those packing heat, those who rely on their Bible and their guns, for the most part, the national media, the narrative that has been played out throughout the national media and the entertainment media, is that the guns and Bible crowd are, for the most part, all white males. And that's why if you watch television shows where there's a commercial advertising a security system for a home, or there's a young woman walking to her car and there's an advertisement about, you know, this quick alert type button or app you can have on your cell phone, and all these little gadgets and mechanisms that are supposed to keep our home safe and keep our person safe. The perpetrator usually shown is a white guy. And who is the hero, whether it's the announcer who then goes on to describe the wonderful attributes of whatever security device it is, or whether it's a movie and the bad guys or the white guys, and then, you know, here's the, you know, the black guy, the one that partners up with the white lady, is the cop or the fellow detective. I'm watching iZombie here the last few weeks on Netflix. Just thought I'd check it out. It's a sci-fi type deal. It's a white girl. She gets after the party on a boat. She's works in a coroner's office as a medical examiner, and a zombie outbreak occurs, and she gets scratched and turns in not quite to a full zombie, but a half zombie. And of course, her detective partner then at the police force, or the guy who's, you know, her partner in the ME's office is a non-white, and then her partner in the police detective's office, who she works with most of the time, he's a compassionate and caring black guy. And so they like to pair, they like that type of pairing up, where the hero that comes in to save the day is a black guy, usually coming in to save the defenseless white woman. And again, it's an attempt to, number one, an attempt to suggest that most crime, or the prevalence of crime, is committed by white men, and that white women can then look to not white men as a protector, or guide, but to the black man, the gentle, you know, it's like these black thugs that's been killed in the last recent years. Freddie Gray comes to mind. Michael Brown up in St. Louis comes to mind. The black guy that was, I forget his name right now, that was killed down there in Louisiana last week in what they called a police-involved death. That's what sparked the protests in Dallas and subsequently the targeting and murder of 5 white cops and then the murder of 3 cops, 3 others shot in Baton Rouge just a couple of days ago. 2 of those targeted were white. Well, all these different black thugs that have been killed at the hands of cops are always referred to as gentle giants. The one that was killed down there in Louisiana had a rap sheet going back to 1996. A couple of charges, including sexual molestation and rape with a minor. But they like to portray these black men as either virile men that can come to save the day, or else as these helpless, gentle giants that then we're supposed to feel all sorry for and tears well up in our eyes and have this great compassion for them and how dare the cops, you know, end their lives. These are just, you know, just gentle giants, and they've been abused by society. They've been abused by a racist society. They've been abused and exploited by a white legal system and a white power structure in America, and on and on and on. And so when it comes to weapons and guns of self-defense, they always portray those who are out there sporting the guns, worried about self-defense, those in the patriotic movement as white men, and as if women are just, I don't know, buying makeup at the mall or trying to find, you know, their 40th pair of shoes to stick in their closet. As if all women do are thinking of frivolous things, what their next hairstyle is going to be, where they're going to go out on their, you know, next, you know, date night with husband or girls' night out, really implying that women are just frivolous, mindless creatures that somehow just might happen into a relationship like the white man who is into guns, and then lo and behold, she's just kind of, you know, caught up with that and the sitcoms with the, oh my God, there's a gun in the house. Oh, you're not going to have that gun in here. Last Man Standing kind of comes to mind. That's with Tim Allen, used to be the star of Home Improvement, all the different Christmas shows, movies, and so forth, where Santa Claus, he plays on there as a kind of a conservative Republican, very gun-happy, very anti-Obama, anti-Hillary Clinton. And then his wife and 3 daughters who are in support of the hunting lifestyle and so forth still too often make cracks, at least the 2 oldest daughters and the mother most often make crack comments about, well, we need to support Hillary because she's a female candidate. We need to, be careful about having too many guns in the house. And so they really try to really exploit and play up this idea that guns and weapons is almost a white man versus everybody else. So this is why I love the new ads out by the NRA that shows. Now there's one also that portrays a black woman who's talking to her, I guess you get her black sisters, about the fact that they need to not try to inhibit people from owning weapons and self-defense and relying on the government, but that they need to take self-defense in their own hands. So there's that one there that kind of targets the black community and black women, who often are at probably even more than white women are at the hands or prey to the violence of the black male in their community, because most of the crime in the black community, I would say almost all of it, is black on black crime, and black women do suffer extraordinarily at the hands of black men, but also white women as well. Studies done by the looking at the compilation of statistics put out by the Justice Department have found that approximately 30,000 sexual assaults against white women at the hands of black men every year, as opposed to statistically no sexual attacks of white men against black women. And so I love these two NRA ads directed towards women, because women have asked for them. Women consumers have demanded that they be represented by the NRA, that they be represented in the gun in the gun stores, in the gun community, in the gun advertisements. They want to feel safe. They want to be able to protect themselves. Not all women want to rely on the government. Not all women have bought into the crazy feminist scheme, which at its root is an attempt to exploit white women in an attempt to undermine Western Christian civilization and to get at the heart of civilization, which is the white family. And so I really do love these two new NRA ads, empowering women and telling them directly from female spokeswomen that they have the right to defend themselves. They have the right to pick up a weapon, to keep it in their home, to protect themselves, or whether they're traveling, whether they're a single woman traveling on business, whether they're a mom or a wife at home, protecting their children, whether she's out at night shopping and she is concerned for her safety when she's walking back to her car in the evening. Now, those opponents of the ads like to suggest and point out that women actually risk greater assault when there is a gun present. What they call intimate partner violence actually increases the risk of homicide by women, one website, The Cut, suggested. However, they fail to take in the race issue. And like I said, black women are a disproportionate number of victims of violence in the black community. And so much of this, what they call intimate partner violence and the risk of homicide when there's a gun present, is actually a race issue. It's not a gun issue. It's a race issue, and it's a race issue that is directly is a result of the lack of law and order in the black community, which brings us totally full around to the importance of the law enforcement community in America and why we must support them and support our white cops, whether they're male or female isn't the issue. We need to support law and order. We need to support the cops that are out there, even though they ultimately are not responsible for our safety. That is up to us. We can, as a community, we can hire people to help patrol the streets and so forth. But ultimately, our safety is only up to us. But we need to support these cops because the attack upon them by the black community is what is the direct directly responsible for the increased escalating violence in the black community. The black community and its escalating violence is a direct result of the black community pushing the white concepts of law and order out of their community and their continued verbal and now physical attacks upon the police. And I say now physical attacks upon the police. Really, it's just the most recent highlighted attacks upon the police, because white police officers know that one of the most violent and threatening places that they can patrol in America, the places that really put their lives on the line and risk them never seeing their family, their kids, their grandkids, risk them never seeing their loved ones again, is to go and patrol in these black neighborhoods. They want to talk about driving while black. Well, how about patrolling while white? White police officers are fearful every single time they pull a black man or a non-white Hispanic man over, because they fear that the savage nature will take over. The inability to see consequences, that's a savage nature of some of these black thugs, some of these non-white Hispanics, these Mexicans in these areas in the United States, in these large cities. White police officers are fearful, and the minute they pull someone over and they see that it's a person of color, they know that there is a possibility that they may not go home that night to their wives or to their husbands or to their children. And that is what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the compassion that we need to have for our white communities, for the white law enforcement officers, and for the families, our families who are going to suffer when there is an ultimate breakdown of law and order in America. So ladies, I'm out of time for today. I just want to thank you for listening to the White Women's Perspective. I want to encourage you to get involved. I want to encourage you to have these important discussions and conversations with your friends, with your daughters, with your sisters, with your girlfriends, with your moms, your grandmas. Talk about these issues with them, because there is an attack upon our people in America. There's attack on our people in our sister white nations, and the attack upon white women plays an integral part in destroying white Western Christian civilization. My sisters, they are after you. They are after your families. They are after you. They are misogynistic. They are exploitive, and they would like nothing more than to see you shut up, sit down, look the other way, and not once utter a word of support for white Christian America and your white brothers and sisters worldwide. Don't let them have their way. Start having the conversation and start asking yourself how you can be a part of the solution for the revival of white men, women, and children worldwide. How you can be a part in stopping genocide against our white brothers and sisters. You can be courageous. You can be a woman of bravery and a woman who has the guts to stand and to make a point in her family and to lead and direct her family and to lead and direct her friends and her colleagues and her acquaintances to a new and better tomorrow. I've got faith in you, sister. You can do it. Until next week, this is Rachel Pendergraft, bringing you the White Women's Perspective. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the White Women's Perspective. I want to remind you that it is not only your right, but it is your duty to stand courageously and boldly for white Christian revival, to stand for our race, and to stand up and say no to white genocide. If you have comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email me at Rachel May, that's RachelMay@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.